For members only, Golf Smarter number 352, published on October 9, 2012, is brought to you by Bonobos.com, who'd like to introduce you to a radical new concept they call their guide shops, now open in Palo Alto, California, Boston, and New York City. Click on their ad at golfsmarter.com or go to bonobos.com, spelled B-O-N-O-B-O-S. Whether in person or online, every new customer receives an exclusive 20% discount off your purchase when you use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Part two with the founder of Adams Golf, Barney Adams.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Barney.
Thank you very much. Thank you for extending me.
Oh, well, thank you for agreeing to be extended. Knowing that you have time, you don't have a tea time today that I have to worry about?
What a brilliant entry. That was...
Again, you're learning quickly about the world of podcasting. We make our own rules as we go along here.
Gotcha. Well, I've been doing that for years, so that's okay.
Well, that's why I'm so fascinated by you, because I'm one of those guys too. It kind of like makes it up as I go along, and you know, I the way I always did things in my business, I've been self-employed for over 25 years now, and to me, I'm going to go out there and start making it happen and adjust as I move along. And people are like, well, you need a business plan. You got to write up a business plan. I'm like, you know what? Those are all just made up numbers. Let me go out and get my fingers dirty and see what works. And then if it works, we'll get someone to pay for it.
On Kindle,
yeah.
As a matter of fact, there is a book called The Wow Factor, W-O-W,
mm-hmm.
written by yours truly.
Okay.
And I will say that I wrote every word of it, so it wasn't as dictated to or as interpreted by or so on. And it's about Adams Golf, but more than that, it's really aimed at entrepreneurs. And I bring that up only in light of what you were just saying.
I'm listening very closely. Talk to me about The Wow Factor. And I'm sorry we weren't promoting Audible. Do you have the audiobook version of that?
Are you kidding? I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't even know if there. I don't think there is one. I mean,
we should do that.
We missed the bestseller. We just barely missed the bestseller list. But be that as it may, I just bring that up because I get asked a lot about how'd you get started and da da da. And it's really kind of a long, involved story. And for those people that are really interested in, if they want to read the book, fine. If they don't, fine. Not a big deal.
Tell us about the book.
Well, the book it stems from, how did you get started?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I told them the story, the response would be, gosh, that's a heck of a story. You ought to do a book.
So and they went, wow. And that was where you came up with the title.
No,
right?
Wow did not come from there. Wow actually came from, wow is my basic concept for running a business. How's that one?
Now I'm taking notes. Okay. Well, W stands for.
Here's what I believe. And I bet you practice this and you don't even know it.
I probably do.
When I introduced my first successful golf club, it was a club called the Tight Lies, a fairway wood. And when I was working at a driving range, custom fitting people, and I had this idea for a golf club. And when I got my first samples and people hit it, I could hear them say to themselves, wow, this is really good.
Hmm.
And then in my mind, that became the wow factor. Because I believe that two main things. Number one, I believe that no business sells a product. I believe that every business sells a service.
Hmm.
And once you define your service and brand your service as you will, you see, if you're selling a product, then your competition is everybody else with the same product or knockoff or similar product or whatever. But if it's a service, then your competition is only those people who can perform as well as you can. And I'd rather be in that ballgame. So I define that as the wow factor. I want people, when they do business with us, to say, wow, those guys really have their act together. Wow, those guys really ship on time. Wow, those guys' quality is great. They're innovative, et cetera, et cetera. It was an attitude we had throughout the company. We used to ask ourselves all the time when we were making a decision, is this a wow decision? Hmm. And that was part of the culture of Adams Golf.
Do you think that what put Apple over the top was when they went retail and really became a service business?
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to really understand that in depth. I mean, okay. I think, you know, frankly speaking, I don't know if it was a conscious decision on their part or if it just sort of happened, you know, because they felt they could retail their products better than other people could.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer. You know,
read the Steve Jobs book. It's fabulous.
Yeah. You know, it's just that wow is not a casual thing with me. Wow is a culture.
And you believe everybody's in a service business.
Absolutely. I don't care if you're selling hammers.
Hmm. And it's all about delivering to your customer.
Absolutely.
The customer is the product?
Not necessarily. As a matter of fact, I don't even believe in customer surveys. And everybody in the world does that, including Coca-Cola. Remember New Coke?
Yeah. Yeah.
Coca-Cola did 2 years of customer surveys and came out with a product that almost broke the company.
Yeah. Well, what was Henry Ford's line about, you know, like focus groups? I think customer surveys, focus groups, right? Henry Ford said, if you ask people, what are they going to want? A faster horse.
Exactly right. It'll drive you to mediocrity.
Right, right.
I'm this is arrogant, but I said, look, I know golf equipment. I mean, I've got years on range, you know, you name it, the background. I know what makes for a good golf club, and it's my job to deliver that message. Now, having said that, you can get good consumer reaction as to presentation, colors, etc. Because quite frankly, for me personally, once I know the club works well, I don't care what color it is. It's all about ball flight to me. But, and by the way, that was our service, was improving ball flight. Not selling golf clubs, improving ball flight. So there is some value you can get from presentation and so on. But, I mean, even Ping over the years has dressed up their clubs. But it's my job to figure out what helps get the ball up in the air, what helps people play better, et cetera.
In regards to club makers and the products that they put out these days, they have to... It seems as if to stay in business, they have to come up with a new product every 6 months and convince the consumer that this product is actually better than the last product we did. And yet there are so many restrictions put on them on what they can do to golf clubs. They've probably reached the limits of what they can do in making changes a couple of years ago, and yet they're still coming out with new clubs every 6 months. So you see things like a white golf club, and has everyone convinced that this is now the greatest golf club they've ever hit?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I have enough time to go over all the places where you're wrong. So I'll try and
shoot me.
And right at the same time. To start off with, it isn't 6 months. I think it's 15 minutes now. By the way, but that was the Ely Callaway effect. Mm-hmm. What happened was, back when Callaway was Callaway, and they're nowhere near that now, but back when Callaway was Callaway and Ely was running the company, they were so successful that it was basically TaylorMade that initiated the strategy of changing product designs, and they tried to do it so fast that Callaway couldn't catch up. And they did it as a marketing strategy because they couldn't figure out how to beat Callaway any other way. And it has now become the norm in the industry.
Wow.
And that's where it came from, okay?
Wow,
yes, we are a regulated business. But that does not mean that we are at the end of the innovative rope, so to speak. Not at all. And if you want a classic case, take hybrids.
Yeah,
I argue that you take an average 3 hybrid, and I'll have you hit it against the 5 greatest 3 irons ever made in the history of time. Guess who wins?
Hybrids.
Absolutely. So it's been a great product, especially for the average golfer. And understand one thing about golf club design. It has one objective, A and F, airborne and forward. If you can't get the ball up in the air, and if it's not moving towards the target, then you haven't done anything for anybody. So you start with ANF and you go there. Hybrids are a great example of ANF.
Yeah.
And now we have adjustable drivers. I think maybe for the very serious, they're probably something I don't think for the average guy they're that big a deal. But, you know, give them credit. That's the technical innovation is terrific.
Then we come back to the ego on that. It's like, oh, I've got a driver that I can adjust. Like, have you ever adjusted it?
Sure. Yes, actually I have. I adjusted the other day right after I got it out of the water because I was mad at it. but I'll tell you another one is the slots in the fairway woods. If you've seen those, that makes the fairway woods better, period.
Really?
Better. Really? Fairway woods with slots are better.
The slots down. On the back part of...
The top and the bottom. Yeah, and the reason why is because they create an environment, and I won't go into all the technical stuff, but they create an environment where the MOI of the fairway wood is now about as great as the driver, and that means more distance, and that's a significant improvement.
Are you still involved in club design and club making?
No, I am not involved at all. TaylorMade, very politely, and I don't mean this in a facetious way, said, look, we're a big, strong company. We got a lot of assets, and we just don't need you anymore.
They had purchased your company?
Yes. They purchased Adams Golf in June.
Okay. June of?
This year, yes.
Oh, congratulations. Yep. So now you are very nicely retired, huh?
Well, I'm going fishing wherever I can because my golf game stinks.
So now you've gotten into fishing?
Oh, I've been in fishing for years.
And have you ever invented a product for fishing, for fishermen?
The funny thing is, in my head, I always invent stuff in my head. It just never goes any further.
Right.
But I actually invented a carry bag that would carry fishing rods and gear at the same time.
Oh.
And I might still do something with it because it's not a terrible idea.
Yeah, I can't imagine you're going to be sitting still very much. You probably don't.
No,
you don't.
It's
sit not. Still.
It's. I am. And again, this is a question I've been asked a lot. You know, you look back upon the success that Adams had, and you know, doesn't that make you feel good, et cetera, et cetera? And sure, you know, you don't want to be whatever it is, just unappreciative.
Mm-hmm.
But by nature, I tend to look forward.
Mm-hmm.
By nature, I'm still the guy that wakes up in the middle of the night with ideas.
It sounds like that your own personal mantra is ANF.
Yeah, pretty. That's a good line. I think I'll steal that. Yes,
my pleasure. Airborne and forward, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about airborne. If I get airborne, I got to land, and if I land, it's going to be a real problem.
Well,
so just
that's
the A part.
Thinking of an albatross hitting the water, right?
It would be worse than that. Yeah, it would be worse than that. Yeah, it would be a catastrophe.
But you've been in not just golf. You've been a lot of let's say tasted a lot of different industries, haven't you?
Yes. I started out of let's see. I can go back to when I used to clean out stalls on the farm.
Where'd you grow up?
Upstate New York, and the dairy country, and my job was two words that both began with S, and the first word was shovel.
And, do you have business cards printed up?
I was going to do that, yes. And it was on a farm that was about 5 miles from our house, and I used to hitchhike back and forth, but I never got the same ride twice when I was coming home.
Oh, that's the kid who shovels.
Yes, and when I got home, my mother made me stand in the driveway while she hosed me off before she let me in the house.
Upstate New York in the winter, huh?
Yeah, well, this was in the spring because the cows would be boarded up all winter, and the stalls would fill up, and then somebody had to go in and clean them out. And what you do is you pitched the product out the window onto a wagon, and then we got in the wagon. This was horse-drawn in those days, and we'd drive the wagon out in the field and then spread it out in the field for fertilizer. And then repeat the process all day long.
I could see why you became an entrepreneur.
Yes, it was. Well, it got me out of farming. That's for darn sure. Yeah, that and baling hay made me decide that farming was not in my future.
Okay, so then what was the next? Where'd you go from there?
Well, I went to Clarkson University up in far upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
They thought I went to be a student. I thought I was up there to play sports, but, you know, I managed to get through. And
what sport?
I played basketball, soccer, and golf.
Oh, interesting.
And Went to work for Corning Glass. Very good company. I was a terrible employee. My idea was that whatever my job was, that my real job was to tell the people at Corning how to run the company. And somehow that didn't go over very well.
You're just shoveling more, huh?
Yeah, I just couldn't help it. I just saw all the advantages they were missing, and I thought I'd point it out to them and so on. So I left there after 9 years.
Isn't it amazing how smart we are when we come out of college? How much we know about everything in the world?
Well, I'm lucky because I've always been brilliant. It's just other people haven't recognized that. But I ended up on the West Coast. I worked in the Silicon Valley in the semiconductor industry. And I can tell you all you need to know about that in one little vignette. I started with Dave Pelz running his company in 1980. This was my big chance to be in the golf industry.
And that was an exciting goal for you. It's like,
I was absolutely right. I could use all the skills I had accumulated over the years, et cetera. And it took me about 2.5 years, and I had him in bankruptcy. And
he must love you.
You could argue that, you know, it wasn't all my fault, et cetera. But one of the mantras is that when you're the top guy, you get all the praise and you get all the garbage, and that's just life in the big city. So it was my fault. One might intuit from that maybe the golf industry wasn't the place for me, but I didn't see it that way. I bought the remaining after the bank sold off all the assets, and we just had a bunch of tables and stuff. I bought them and started up on my own. Like you said, no business plan, no plan of any kind. And I got a job in the Silicon Valley, a real job that provided income while I kind of was nurturing my little company. And 1 year I went to the PGA show with my little company, which means that I flew to Abilene, Texas, loaded up my products, rented a van, a little 10-foot booth, drove it to Orlando, Florida, set it up, worked it for 4 full days, tore it down, drove it back to Abilene, Texas, and loved every minute of it.
Hmm.
When I got back to California, a couple of months later, I went to the semiconductor show in San Mateo with our little testing company.
What year was that? I mean, if you're
I don't remember. Yeah, it was the early 80s. I forget exactly.
So helped just them set the beginning up the personal computer era.
Helped them set up the booth at the show.
Yeah.
Was going to work the booth with them because, you know, that's the right thing to do and so on.
Of course.
And I can remember thinking, I've been here all day. It's time for lunch. And I looked at my watch, and it was 9:15 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
And I went to the venture capital group that I work for, and I said, I'm out of here. I mean, I don't need any more, you know, I mean, what the heck?
I was at a golf show all day long and didn't even realize it was...
Killed myself. I could hardly walk when I got home. Yeah, absolutely. At 8:45, I'm ready to leave. So I left the Silicon Valley, started up on my own, should have gone broke. Well, I was broke. I mean, what the heck? What do you mean I should have? But I basically ran a Ponzi scheme where I ended up with 42 credit cards and borrowed money from one and paid off a little on the next one. And that's how I financed myself for several years. And I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version. Came up with a club called the Tight Lies. It became popular on its own.
It kind of exploded, huh?
Oh, yeah. It became the largest selling fairway wood in the industry. We did a TV infomercial. It became the largest TV golf infomercial in history. Our sales went from minuscule, you know, a couple $100,000 to $80 million in 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Wall Street came in 98. We went public.
Oops.
The industry kind of slowed down. We fought our way through.
In retrospect, was the going public, was that a valuable thing?
Yes,
or
it was valuable because it gave us money to stay alive.
I see.
And then there was a kind of a dust up on the board, and they wanted to sell the company. So TaylorMade came along and bought it, and I go fishing.
Nice.
End of story.
Wow. Does what Dave Pelz, what were you doing with him? And why'd you need him?
He had a product called Featherlights back in those days, which didn't work, but they got a lot of attention at the Dame. And then I actually studied putters for 2 years of my life. It's funny, people you know, want to explain putters to me like I've never seen one. And I actually spent probably more time on putters with Pelzi than I did anything else. So we just, you know, we were trying to come up with innovative ideas.
What's your opinion of the state of the equipment industry right now, the golf equipment industry?
Well, it's changed drastically, and it's, I think it's going to continue to change in the same. You see, when I was active, we had like 4,000 pro shop accounts and roughly an equal number of retailers, you know, we call doors.
Okay.
Today, you've still got 4,000 pro shops accounts roughly and 5 retail accounts.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that consolidation means that it's become a numbers game. You walk into a retailer, he looks at the market share data, he says, well, you're number 3.4, we'll give you X percent of the budget. Thank you and goodbye.
No conversation, no negotiation.
No
relationships. Forget that stuff.
Oh, there's
right?
always relationships. I mean, you're dealing with human beings, but not, you know.
But the metrics.
But
the bottom
line is that they pretty much have to deal that way to cover themselves. It's pretty hard for a guy in a buying job to say, "Gee, Fred, I think you got some great products, and even though nobody knows who you are, I'm going to give you some of TaylorMade's floor space." That ain't going to happen.
So where does the next Tight Lies come from? Does it happen? I mean, yeah, we had hybrids.
Yeah, there'll always be innovation.
But because of...
I'm going to give you an answer.
Okay, good.
Call me in a year. Maybe less. I had one of those middle of the nighters.
Oh, is that right?
So we shall see what we shall see.
Do you have them in the middle of the night or in the shower?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have those in the middle of the night or in the shower? I have them in the shower.
No, in the middle of the night. I wake up.
Yeah,
I wake up and I write it down. I get up the next morning and it says,
But then you're like, oh, that's really a good idea, or I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So what the hell's the matter with you?
You've had a couple of those in your life, right?
Lots of them.
Yeah. And you've made some of them work.
Yeah, some of them have worked out okay, and some of them have been a joke, but that's, you know, that's life.
But, yeah, and haven't you learned a tremendous amount from those jokes?
Well, don't sure, you learn more from, you will learn, I said this in the book, you learn way more from failure than you do from success.
I call that experience.
As a matter of fact, in the book, what I really try to do is point out all the dumb things I did, because that's how people learn.
Right. You don't really learn much from doing something right, because, oh, well, I better keep doing this. What am I doing? I'm not sure, but I'm going to keep going.
Well, if you do stuff right, you think you're really smart.
Yeah. And everyone tells you are. That's what makes it worse.
Yeah. You find out that you're not so smart, and by that time, it's too late.
Right. Right. Well, again, you said you learn a lot from doing something wrong. I call that experience.
Could be. I mean,
if you pay attention.
It's only experience if you recognize it.
Right.
Some people don't recognize it.
Right. That's so, so true. But you think that that their innovation continues, and we're talking the golf industry, we can talk in any industry.
Absolutely, and will always continue. It's the bane of the golf industry. I realize it's pretty much a fashion business today, but it's a fashion business still with innovation involved.
And what about the status of golf courses with... private courses seem to be struggling. Public courses are struggling to stay open. Where do you think that is headed?
Play the right tees and you'll go a long way toward fixing the problem.
Real simple.
Tee it forward. I told you, I'm a simple person.
Yeah. Did you come up with the name Tee It Forward too? Or did PGA do focus groups on that one?
No, they came with that name. And quite frankly, I didn't like it because I thought it was – kind of delivered the wrong message, but I certainly appreciated their support and getting on the bandwagon and so on. So, I
agree with you. I don't like it either. Because, again, it's like, it's almost...
I wanted tour equivalent. They thought the word equivalent was too much of a mouthful.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And you keep saying people are smart, and they're saying, no, we don't want to make them hard words.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I what can I tell you?
Play like
it's their sandbox, so what can I tell you?
Go get your own cat and put it in their sandbox.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Tee It Forward for a while. It's an interesting concept. It's hard to understand, and it shouldn't be. And the name doesn't do it justice, and it kind of sends you in the wrong direction.
So we agree.
I think so.
All right, good. Well, you come up with any brilliant ideas, let me know, will you? Because I'm trying as hard as I can.
All right, so then I'm going to throw this out. We have a global audience of golfers. Okay. Who have been listening now for an hour to...
They can't be awake now. They're probably asleep.
Oh, no, they put it on pause and they came back.
Oh, okay.
Back
they take a nap and then
come
back?
Yeah, they come back. Gotcha. And actually, some people even listen multiple times. And I think you're so entertaining, they're going to be listening multiple times.
They need to get a life, but go on.
No, well, hey, listen, they play golf.
Okay, well, that's true.
So they are, they've already got big troubles to start.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
But if they have answers...
They're probably right. They're probably late for their psychiatrist is probably
the
problem.
Well, they're probably sitting in their psychiatrist listening to this. So
this is it. Yeah.
Or on a bus, or they're at the driving range, or they're walking their dog.
I not only know those people, I'm one of them. So
there you go.
I understand.
We're both one of them. We are them.
Yes, that's so right.
Maybe Walt Kelly. If we have people from anywhere on the face of the earth that have better names for this, should we send them to you?
No, send them to the PGA.
You don't want to hear them. You're done. You're talked out on.
Send them to me, or send them to the. You're singing to the choir. It's a waste of time.
That's true. And you wanted to use PGA equivalent. And they're like, man, it's
a tour equivalent. Tour vicinity, tour approach.
I like tour approach.
There we go. That's my latest one.
Oh, that's a good one. Tour approach. Because approaches has so many meanings to it on that.
Yeah, I understand. And tour approach is actually my last one. I'd like to take credit of that, but a friend of mine came up with approach rather than equivalent. It was an easier word.
And PGA is involved, so it's not like you're infringing on the word tour. It's not like, sorry, that word is copyrighted. We can't touch that word.
You know, I'm hip. We'll see what happens.
Tour. I like tour approach. Because, yeah, approach, your approach shot and playing it like the pro. I like that one. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. And have 25 million of your listeners write to the PGA and tell them to change it to tour approach.
And how about this? It'll be small a, small p, capital P-R-O, small a-c-h. So it's a pro.
You're way beyond me. Now listen, I told you before, very simplistic.
I want you to get your fishing rod out and reel me back in now. I am getting a little too far. My wife does this a lot. When I start with my idea, she throws out her imaginary fishing rod and reels me back in going, whoa, Fred, come on back.
That's right. Here, Fred. That's exactly right.
Is that why people always said, I named my dog Fred?
Yes.
It's a bad first name. Wow. Hey, Barney. I've really enjoyed getting to meet you. This has been very entertaining for me. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And I wish you all the luck of the world. And please, when you get that next middle of the night idea starts to happen, can you share it with us?
I certainly will.
I appreciate that, too.
I'll put you guys right in the middle of my list.
And I'm sure, and actually top of the list is that guy swinging the club right behind you, right?
Right.
You didn't tell anybody who it was. Wait, you said your all-time favorite golfer?
It's Arnold.
Yeah, I know that. I'm looking at the picture, but this is audio.
I've been very fortunate. I played with him a couple of times. He's my hero. And I told him he was my hero.
Oh, I'm sure he loved hearing that.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's the first guy ever, you're the first one ever to tell him that, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. First million.
Yeah, right. But, I mean, so was he your hero before you played and after you played?
Yes. Yeah. Back to the 60s. Yeah.
Quality human being?
Remember, I went to college in the 50s.
Mm.
Yes.
So
just got out of the gutta percha era.
So did you, they say if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
By the time the 60s came along, I had a job, I was married, I had a kid, and I worked every day. The 60s were not part of my life, as you're referring to them.
No, that's more the Mad Men 60s. You were working. You missed that part.
Yeah.
No hippie for you.
Yeah, I did. I missed all of that stuff.
But you were right there at the beginning of Silicon Valley starting to explode. Missed that too.
Yeah, but it wasn't. The Silicon Valley is full of wonderful, brilliant physicists and MEs and EEs and so on, and I'm none of the above, so I didn't belong there.
You feel like you're lucky the way where you've been and what you've gotten
to? Kid, of course. You don't think I got here on talent, did you? Of course I'm lucky.
Wow. Lucky guy. It's a wonderful mm-hmm. life, huh?
Yes, it is. Hey, Fred McMurray could do that.
Yeah, right. See, back to Fred. I named my dog Fred. Oh, it's after Fred McMurray.
That's right.
All right, Barney. Best wishes. Good health to you.
Okay.
And more great ideas.
Thank you very much.
And I just received an update that Barney's being inducted into the Clarkson University Athletic Hall of Fame. He was there from the late 50s to early 60s, playing, as he told us, golf, basketball, and soccer. But, of course, he really made his mark in the sports world after he graduated. And, well, we heard why. he's a benefactor at Clarkson University as well. And so it's very kind of him to do that. And so he's being honored as such. I've talked about the great comfortable golf clothes that have been introduced by Bonobos.com. No question that free shipping on your orders and free shipping for all returns is an awesome offer. But did you know that now you can try on anything from Bonobos before you buy it? At the Bonobos Guide Shops, they have three locations in Palo Alto, California, Boston, and New York City. And they have specially trained guides who will help you find just what you need. So schedule an appointment and go in for a quick and easy shopping experience. You can book a 45-minute private appointment and try on Bonobos inventory of men's pants, shirts, suits, outerwear, golf clothes, and casual apparel. Sorry to the women who are listening right now. This is just for guys. Jeez, how rare is it that we can talk about men only in the fashion world? Love it. So anyway, please check them out online or at one of their guide shops and make sure that you mention Golf Smarter, because as a new customer, you're going to get a 20% discount on your purchase. That's Bonobos, B-O-N-O-B-O-S, bonobos.com, or simply click on their ad at golfsmarter.com. Hopefully you got an email from me recently, but I'd also like to ask a favor of you and repeat what's going on. It's time for the annual People's Choice Podcast Awards. And if we can receive enough nominations, we would like to earn the award as the best sports podcast for 2012. But really, it's up to you. It has nothing to do with me. Now, according to iTunes and Google, Golf Smarter is ranked as the most popular of the golf podcasts. But getting to the top of the sports podcast category, that is definitely going to be awesome, but it requires your help. It's very simple to do. Just go to podcastawards.com and nominate Golf Smarter as your favorite sports podcast. You can only nominate us one time. And if you do nominate us more than once, your nomination is disqualified. You cannot nominate us in multiple categories either. So please, let's just keep it to the sports podcasts. They're going to ask you for a valid email address and your comments. Now, actually, the comments do have an influence on these judges, so be kind and be nice to me, or don't say anything. No, say be honest as possible. I think that's the most important part as to why you think Golf Smarter is your favorite sports podcast and what it does for you. I mean, does Golf Smarter help? Let them know that. I think that's a very important part of it. Again, nominations are now open, and they close at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on October 15th, 2012. If we make the first cut, then I'll let you know when the 15-day voting period begins. Then you can vote once each day for those 2 weeks. But for now, please make your one-time nomination of Golf Smarter as your favorite sports podcast for 2012 at podcastawards.com. If you have any questions, comments on this new microphone in our new studio, it's getting close to being done here, or any suggestions on guests or not using new microphones, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.